dear listener. It is Kate, the normal host of the Oucher podcast. But normally you would hear me with Simon Minty, who is not here. Normally I would be in a studio, which I am not. And normally I would have a producer in my ear telling me what to say and what not to say, which I'm not, which could be either a good or bad thing. Who knows? Because I am stuck at home. I, like a lot of the country, am self-isolating because of the coronavirus. And like a lot of disabled people, we have had to do this a lot earlier than most of the general population. And I am going to be in my house for the foreseeable. And it is scary. And it is lonely. And it is hard. And there's no getting around that. But I also know that I am not on my own, because I know that there's lots of us out there who are going through the same thing. So for those of you who don't listen to Ouch regularly, I am a disabled person myself. I have got a condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is like a sort of, it's a bit like arthritis. It's chronic pain in all your joints kind of thing, along with other stuff that I've got going on, like bad endometriosis and some mental health stuff. So I will use a wheelchair when I'm out and about, but I can sort of get around the house and stuff by myself. But it, weirdly, it's not me that we are isolating for. It's actually my wife. So my wife also has a disability. She has chronic kidney disease, CKD, it's called, apparently. She has had a kidney transplant, so 11 years ago now she had a kidney transplant, and ever since she has been on immunosuppressants. So she takes tablets that stop her immune system working so that her immune system doesn't fight off the kidney, because the kidney is not hers, it came from a friend of hers, so it's seen as like a foreign kind of body in her own body. And if she had her immune system, then her immune system would try and fight the kidney. So that means that she has chronic kidney disease, which is on the list of high risk people, and she has had a transplant and is on immunosuppressants, which means she is doubly on the high risk. Therefore, it just feels like the world has changed over the last few days, that everything's changed. You know, this time last week, everything was kind of normal. We were going about our normal things. I remember we joked to each other about, should we go out for dinner because it might be the last time we get to do this? Or should we take Scout to a play cafe because it might be the last chance we get to do this? But it wasn't serious. It wasn't real. It was jokes. And now it's real. What I've decided to do is to keep a diary, an audio diary of what we're doing here in our isolation, our house of isolation, and also to kind of chat to some friends about what they're doing and other disabled people who I can get some tips from, to find out like how they cope normally in this situation, because disabled people do this. Like, this isn't going to be something abnormal for a lot of people, and we should be learning from them. And also, if you're listening to this and you are not yet isolated, or you think you might become isolated soon, hopefully, like, maybe I'm a bit of a voice from the future to tell you what to expect and maybe give you some tips and to say, well, this is what I would have done if I'd known I was going to go into isolation just a few days before, you know, it happened. So yeah, have a listen, join me on this journey. I don't know how long the journey will last. I don't know how long we're going to be in here for, and I don't know what it's going to be like. But yeah, join us as we embark on this, and let's see, you know, let's get through it together, because I think we all work better. We're a social species, us humans. I think it'll be better if we all feel like we're not alone. And as I'm sure you'll agree, now is quite an erratic time. And that's how this podcast or diary or whatever it is exactly going to be. When the time feels right, maybe when I'm finding a moment really tough, or I'm going to have a cry, when I'm feeling a bit lost or worried, or even when I've come up with a brilliant brainwave on how to entertain myself within these four walls for free, I'll pick up my recorder and I'm going to share it all with you guys. Okay, so I thought I'd introduce you all to my wife, who is the main reason that we are isolating, because I think my condition would probably, I don't think I'd probably have to isolate if it wasn't for you.
I'm not sure, actually. Maybe not.
I'm not on I'm not on the list. I'm a medium risk. I'm not high risk. No. So.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I'm a high risk because I had a kidney transplant 11 years ago. So I take immunosuppressants. So basically, I get a lot of colds and coughs anyway. So I don't know if I'd survive the coronavirus. So over the past few days, we've been trying to take it seriously and putting things in place so that we don't have to leave the house.
Yeah, and it's pretty hard already. We're on day three of...
Week one.
Yeah, week one, day three of isolation. It's already been quite tough. I mean, I think we both swing between one of us taking it more seriously than the other, depending on what mood we're in. Because sometimes I'm more worried and sometimes you're more worried about yourself and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about myself getting it, though, because I'm literally not leaving the house, apart from to maybe, you know, walk up the road. Scout and I delivered some muffins to our neighbours who are stuck in this afternoon, but we put one on the doorstep, then basically legged it. So I'm not worried about getting it. I'm worried about going stir crazy over 12 weeks with a 3.5-year-old.
We do have a daughter. She is the light of our lives, isn't she?
Yeah, she's great.
Her name's Scout and she's 3.5 years old. The half is very important.
Who is used to having preschool 3 full days a week. And so far in 3 days, I've baked with her like 3 times. We've done fashion shows, we've done craft, we've done cards for friends, we've done Frozen 2 3 times. So
yeah, I feel like there's a lot of ideas going around, but also I feel like we've used up a lot of ideas already.
We had a lot of toys that we actually didn't give her for Christmas because she got quite a lot. So
she had too much,
so she's actually got her main Christmas present, which is upstairs, wrapped up in Christmas paper.
Ready and waiting.
So if things really, you know, we were going to save it for her birthday in July, but it might end up making an appearance. Maybe, I'm guessing, week 2, day 4.
I reckon we can hold out for week 3.
Oh, I don't know.
Our cats just walked in. Are you worried about the cats?
No. Why would I be worried about the cats?
I don't know. Can cats catch corona?
I don't think so.
Have you checked that out?
Yeah, but dogs can't, so I don't think cats can.
But could the cats bring it into the house? Because they're outdoor cats. We've got 4, by the way. We've got 4 cats.
I'm pretty sure 2 of them go on regular excursions to other people's houses. Sometimes Milo comes in smelling of perfume. Yes, he do. And Tiger, I think he probably has another home. So...
Oh, don't say that. So are we going to have to quarantine the flipping cats? God, what are we going to do?
No, we can't do that.
But I feel like we're quite lucky where we live. So we live in a sort of suburb of a city, and we are on a road which is just full of the best people. So we have put together, us and a couple of other of our friends, we've put together a WhatsApp group to try and help some of the neighbours, and to be honest, help ourselves because we're in isolation, to try and help us all like connect to each other and reach out for help and reach out for support and also help other people who are in the situation.
The group is really useful because A, there's a lot of neighbours in there that I've never met before, and B, people are doing shopping trips the whole road. We are starting a little library at the bottom of the road, you know, where you can take books and, you know, add books. There was talk about some kind of art project on the street as well. I don't know how that's going to go. So yeah, I feel like we're not in it alone.
No, I definitely, even though I feel a bit lonely, and I could highly recommend that if you are somebody who can get out and about, please go and put something through your neighbour's doors and think about setting up a WhatsApp group or a Facebook group or whatever. I don't know what people use nowadays, but for us, it's been WhatsApp has been the most accessible to everyone. We got printed out a sort of piece of paper that just said, look, you know, we're all going through a weird time. Let's stay in touch. And if you can offer help, great. And if you need help, great. This is the number to contact so that we can add you to the WhatsApp group. I would suggest doing that and have a little search on Facebook and see if somebody's already doing that if you are feeling like you're alone, because hopefully most people are pulling together around now and the help will be there. I guess it's, you know, just a case of trying to tap into it. So I'm just sitting in the bathroom because it's the only place I can get some peace in my house. And I've just kind of escaped because I feel so anxious and rubbish this morning. I've just woken up with like a real sense of anxiety and my chest is tight and my head is spinning and I feel really rubbish. And I don't know. Like, I think it's been growing the last few days, but yeah, just seeing so much shut down and things stopping, it's really just, I don't know, I think it's the 12 weeks thing. It's every day for the next 12 weeks just seems so far, like that this is so long, and no, there's not going to be any difference in the days, and for some reason, like, the difference at weekends, like, feels like there should be, like, a big difference, and just feels like there's going to be no difference, everything's going to be exactly the same. And that's just really, like, stressed me out, made me feel really rubbish. Oh, God, I've got my hands in my mouth because I'm biting my nails and I shouldn't be. Take them out. So one of the first things we were anxious to do when we realised that we wouldn't be able to leave the house was to do a food shop. I mean, we booked it a week ago before we realised that this was even going to happen, but we just thought, had in the back of our minds, what if? So we decided to focus on like buying the key stuff that we needed, like milk for Scout and oat milk for me because of my stupid stomach that can't digest loads of different foods. So we had to like have like brown pasta on the list and all of this kind of stuff. But the other thing, we realised like we eat a lot of chocolate. Like Holly and I go through bags of chocolate a day, and I know it's awful, but we do. And we were like, if we get stuck inside and other people are going to be getting stuff for us, we literally can't every day be like, can you get us some more chocolate? Can you get us some more chocolate? Because it's going to be really embarrassing. And I think that time is going to come. But yeah, so we were worried that we were going to be a bit late. But thankfully, the delivery driver did arrive. But when it arrived, I got a bit of a telling off.
Hello.
You all right?
Yeah, so we're isolated.
You should have put it on your order.
Okay.
You should have let us know.
Okay. Why?
Why? Because it puts us at risk.
We're not isolated because we've got symptoms. We're isolated because we've got a vulnerable person living in the house. Okay. So it's different. So what you could do, if you could put it, take it round the back, that's where our kitchen is, and then I can just lift everything in.
Okie dokie.
Okay? Thanks. I guess, to be honest, I was impressed by his diligence, and it is the right thing to do. And yes, if it was the fact that we had someone ill, then it would have been rubbish for him to have been, you know, knocking on the door of a house that could have made him ill. But being like misunderstood when you've got a disability is just something that it happens to me all the time. And you kind of get used to it, but in the back of your mind, you also don't. And it just brings it all back up. And it's like, please just get it. Like, I understand it from your point of view, but, you know, it's just really hard, isn't it? So I woke up this morning and my body has been, like, it just felt awful from the moment I woke up. It's just, I don't know, like,
I'm in so much pain. And I was talking about it and trying to think to myself, why am I in so much pain? Like, what am I doing differently? It just dawned on me that, like, my body needs really gentle exercise. So pretty much every 2 days of my whole adult life, I go swimming. I've been doing that for years, and my body needs it to keep my joints moving and to keep me, like, mobile, and it's like a non-impact way to keep myself going. And I've just realised that I haven't been for like 5-6 days now, and I feel terrible. I'm already feeling it, and I was just like, oh, what am I gonna do? And it just made me sort of spiral into thinking about the other stuff that's gonna actually be really difficult over the coming weeks. Oh, put my hand over my face again. Stop it, Kate. The other things that are going to be difficult. So, yeah, not going swimming. What am I going to do about that? Holly was trying to suggest, like, finding somebody who lived somewhere who has, like, a private pool that I could go and swim in. I don't know, like, is that safe? Is that okay? Does that person even exist? I don't know. But I mean, obviously that would be amazing, but the likelihood of that is really low. But I don't know how I'm going to get through 12 weeks without being able to do something. The other thing is, I've just realised I have to cancel our cleaner, and I use some of my benefit money to pay for a cleaner because I can't physically do it. And that is going to be a huge problem. Holly can do a bit, but because of her renal failure, she gets exhausted really quickly, so that's going to be a struggle, and that's going to be a real problem. And then also it means that my the person that comes in to help me out with a few bits, like work wise and physically, sort of like a personal assistant, she can't come either. She's not going to come out. And I was just like, oh yeah, don't come this week, and then didn't really think about it. And now I've realised, hold on, how are we going to do this? How are we going to manage? Oh my God, my head is pounding from the stress of thinking about this. I know, like, I'm really lucky in terms of I've got some friends who have got 24-hour PAs or carers that come in and out, and they are going to be self-isolating, and I have no idea how they're managing to do that. So I might give one of them a call later and see how they're managing it, because I have no idea. I mean, for me, like, it's going to be difficult, but it's not going to be a life, you know, it's not going to be life or death, and it's not going to be whether I can get out of bed in the morning or not. But for some of them, it is. So how the heck are they going to do it? And if their PAs go down with this virus or anything, you know, that means they can't do it. Oh, God. Oh, this is all getting a bit miserable, isn't it? I need to go and stroke one of my cats to make myself happy. I think that's the only answer to this.
It's massive relief my meds arrived, because I think it's enough for about 3 months.
Is it? That's good.
Yeah, and I've got some spares upstairs anyway. I don't know what will happen to our monthly prescriptions, though, from the chemist.
Well, I hope somebody will be able to go and pick them up, because otherwise we'll both struggle with that. When that arrived this morning, I sort of left the box on the step for a bit. Not really sure why. I just sort of felt like it shouldn't come straight into the house. I don't know if that's even a thing. I got the medicines out, and then I left the box outside rather than bringing the box inside. Again, I don't know if that's like something that will really help, but it just feels like we're doing something to protect ourselves and to protect Holly. I don't know if that's any good. So I have a feeling we are going to be housebound for a while now. So it would be so great if you could join me on this, and you can help me keep going a bit. I'm a very open person. Maybe, you know, sometimes I'm going to be too open about how things are going. But we're going to try and keep ourselves healthy. We're going to try and keep ourselves sane. My daughter is already yelling for me. Yeah, I'm going to try and keep myself sane and my mental health in check, because I am also really worried about that, from not being able to go out and stuff. It it's probably going to be a real struggle, but I'm going to be real about it and I'm going to tell you the good and the bad and also try and give you some advice if you're about to come into this situation. I'm also really keen to hear your stories, your situations, and any tips you might have for helping me survive this or helping our fellow other disabled people to survive this. So yeah, please get in touch. Email my producer Amy, amy.elizabeth@bbc.co.uk, and she will pass them on, because we are all in this together. Okay, I'm going to go and try doing some like pretend swimming on the floor. Does that work? Do you remember those videos of how people used to like learn to swim in the olden days where they didn't have water and they just did front crawl or breaststroke? Maybe I'll go and try that.